The Man in Line with Beth Espy.
My good afternoon. It's Friday the 22nd of October and this is The Man in Line on Manx Radio. Beth sitting in for Andy for the final time this week. All being well, he'll be much better over the weekend and back with you on Monday. But for now, it is your hour. What would you like to talk about? Perhaps the government encouraging you to play your part in preventing the spread of COVID-19. We've got a new subcommittee of the Council of Ministers. It is called the National COVID Response Group. What do you want from them? 166 177 if you want to text. You can email studio@manxradio.com or even better, 66 13 68 if you want to give me a call and you can go live on air. Something else the new government has on their mind at the moment is climate change. What are they doing to address that issue? Is net carbon zero emissions before 2050 a realistic target? Also, that new steam packet company vessel, it is on time and on budget. Apparently. Let's just look at the latest COVID figures. 106 new cases of COVID were identified yesterday. That takes the total number of active cases on the Isle of Man to 718. There are now 9 people in hospital with the virus. That's 2 more than the day before, but no one is being treated in intensive care. What we don't really know is whether those are all new admissions, whether some of them have been in hospital for a while. It is still early days for the new government, but what is their initial response to this continuing COVID situation? As I mentioned, we learnt yesterday evening that a new subcommittee of the Council of Ministers have been formed. It is called the National COVID Response Group, and its aim is to monitor this ongoing situation. We're told the group is going to meet regularly alongside key advisers and they're going to discuss the best way forward. What I can't tell you right now is who the members of the group are. We have asked that question. We also understand that the Chief Minister is considering whether or not to hold a briefing next week. And I should say at this point, we have invited the Chief Minister, also the Director of Public Health and the Education Minister in to talk to us. And with regard to the Chief Minister, we've been told at the moment, the Chief Minister is minded to stick with the messaging in our news release, which restates existing policy, and potentially looking to do a briefing next week, which the media will, of course, be invited to take part in. Well, that written statement really is urging you, the public, to take some steps to really mitigate your own risk of COVID. The Director of Public Health, Dr. Henrietta Hewitt, in this says, I understand the public might be concerned with the increase in cases over the past week. As we move into the winter months, we will see an increase in COVID cases as well as other illnesses such as flu and the common cold. She says, please use a face covering when in crowded and enclosed spaces, especially with people you don't normally mix with. Wash your hands thoroughly and regularly. Keep your distance when in crowded places and allow fresh air into indoor spaces. These basic steps, she says, which we have all become very familiar with over the past year and a half, continue to offer some of the best protection, helping to limit the spread of the virus and keep our island community safe. Interestingly, there will be a few questions in the House of Keys next week about COVID. The Russian MHK, Dr. Michelle Haywood, wants to know whether the Chief Minister will review the protocol for COVID-19 PCR testing. She also wants to know if the 14-day case notification rate will be included on the COVID statistics dashboard. How accurate have LFTs been in your experience? Also, the Arbury, Castletown and Maloo MHK, Jason Morehouse, wants to ask the Chief Minister if any additional mitigations planned in relation to the impact of COVID-19 as we move into winter. And he wants to know what the challenges are facing schools on the island as well. We are going to speak to Dr. Haywood and Mr. Morehouse a little bit later this afternoon. But let's go to the lines now and join Howard. And Howard, something about gas?
Yeah, I was just talking to Barry there, but it's something. Well, I just rang Markwell House not so long ago, and they've announced that on income support they're going to give an extra £100. Now, they never said whether that was going to be just primarily for the gas to cover the increase, or where anybody's on income support, whether for oil or otherwise, will they get the £100 as well, which is totally wrong, because that, in a sense, is just a £100 Christmas bonus.
Well, what I understand, Howard, is for those who normally receive the winter fuel payment, that is going up to £450, so that is £100 more.
Yes, but the reason behind it was for the increase in gas, the 27.5%, is because of that they're increasing to prevent the fuel poverty. But oil hasn't gone up, so why would you need to put an extra £100 to people that's burning oil when there's been no price increase? The price increase was instigated by the government, by the Treasury, to cover the cost of this gas price increase. So anybody that's on income support and on gas, they will get this. Although I rang Markwell House this morning and they hadn't heard anything as yet. They've had no information through. But anybody that's on oil really shouldn't receive that extra £100, because it's not an increase on oil. It's an increase on gas that's been covered. And I think it's a question that should be asked. Is it across the board? Because that's a £100 is a nice little Christmas bonus, which a lot of pensioners who are just supporting themselves and will be in a position where they a decision whether to heat or eat, and they're not on income support, are going to find things difficult. Yet somebody that's on oil, they're going to get an extra £100 and not bearing the increase.
OK, that's a good point, Howard. I also understand that Treasury is committing to what they're describing as a variable winter bonus, and this could be worth between £25 and £75. And that's going to be for those that might just be outside the criteria for other support. And that's going to be allocated depending on individual circumstances and income. And that's really what you want to see happen across the board with these payments.
Well, this should not apply to people that are on oil, central heating. And there's a large percentage of people on oil. And they should, I'm not saying they don't get the other £350, I thought it was £300, but what's £50 between friends? But they should not receive the £100 bonus because they have not had a major increase in their fuel costs. That was laid out and brought through Timbald because of the gas price increase. And as I say, it'll come through in the form of probably a cheque. They should be in tokens, vouchers or otherwise, where they can only be spent on the items that are prescribed, gas or oil, whereas a lot of these come in the spring and they help to pay off the Christmas debts. I know it, and I've seen it, and I've seen it done. So the government should give the people off the island who are bearing the brunt of this and having to pay for it. A lot of people have worked all their lives, not on income support, but through our taxes, we're going to have to pay this. But it's wrong that because of the gas price increase, which is only temporary, hopefully, we're on gas. We have been for many, many years. And I believe, Barry's just said to me, the gas price increase started from Wednesday.
Yeah, it did, yeah. Just after that vote.
How do they know how much you'd used before and how much you're going to use afterwards? Because there's been no meter readings around.
OK, Howard, some really interesting points there. Thank you so much, as ever, for your contributions. What do you make of what Howard had to say there? 66, 13, 68. Something else we've been talking about a lot over the past couple of days is COVID vaccinations. And I know we talked about booster jabs and whether or not people had received an invitation for that if they were in an eligible group. We understand it has to be at least 6 months since your last jab before you actually get one. But somebody has just messaged to say, I registered my 16-year-old 2 weeks ago for the COVID vaccine. I haven't heard a thing from anyone. It seems really strange that with children getting the blame for rising cases, it appears that they are at the back of the queue. Have you heard anything? If you've registered your 12 to 16-year-old for a jab, do let me know. 16 minutes past 12 now.
I am one call centre, the place to go. Great choice and prices so low. I am one call centre on Domain Road. Cars of every kind, at prices that are hard to find. Visit on Facebook to see the range, or call 611040. Great service, choice and prices low. IM1 Car Centre, the place to go.
How much income will you need in retirement? £10,000 per year? £25,000? £50,000? At Moore Stephens Financial Services, we'll create a personalised lifetime retirement matrix to project whether your plans are in line with reality or just a pipe dream. If they are just pipe dreams, we can show you how to get them back on track. Moore Stephens Financial Services. Here today, planning for tomorrow. Moore Stephens Financial Services Limited is licensed by the Isle of Man Financial Services Authority.
Isle of Man Railways.
All aboard the Santa Express from Douglas Station to see me and my friends in Santa's Grotto in Santon. The whole family can enjoy festive refreshments, all served from the dining car, and every child will visit Santa's Grotto and receive a Christmas gift from me. For dates and train times, call Santa's Helpers on 662-525 or visit rail.im.
Are you or a loved one looking for support at home? Do you require just 1 hour per week or 24-hour care? At First Care, our highly trained team of friendly carers are here for you with a tailored service that meets your needs. We provide cleaning and shopping support, hourly care, respite care, dementia care, overnight and live-in care in the comfort of your own home. Call us on 851 787 or visit firstcare.im. First Care at home. There really is no place like home.
This weekend on Manx Radio, our winning weekend wordplay continues, and this time we're teaming up with Pizza Napoli. We'll give you the chance to win a meal for four at their Douglas restaurant on Prospect Terrace. To win, all you need to do is have a go at our winning weekend wordplay, which is on all day Saturday and Sunday, and we'll announce the winner on Monday's breakfast show at 10 to 9. So join us this weekend to be a winner with Pizza Napoli here on your nation station, Manx Radio.
The Man in Line with Beth Espy.
It is 18 minutes past 12. Really lovely to have your company this lunchtime. It's Beth sitting in for the show because Andy still isn't well. Hopefully he will be back in the chair on Monday. Naturally, we've been talking a lot about gas prices over the past few days because the first timeled sitting of this administration agreed to charges going up by 27.5% when they met for the first time on Tuesday. So that increase is now in place. It's thought it's going to see the average Manx gas customer paying around £30 more a month. Howard has just been on with his concerns about how support for people is going to be handed out. Gaynor says, well said, Howard, and the extra money should be given to the gas supplier, not in cash or a cheque to be spent as they please. But somebody else says, tell Howard to check his facts on oil prices. It's gone up from just over 30p a litre to the north of 50p a litre in little over a year. All fossil fuel heating prices have soared. And Pauline says, I don't qualify for income support. I'm on disability living allowance and incapacity benefit. Will I get any help for my gas bill? Well, we can go back to the lines now and join Ursula. And Ursula, you want to talk about gas as well? Oh, I think I've inadvertently hung up on Ursula there. I do beg your pardon. It was going to happen at some point, wasn't it? Ursula, if you phone back, we'll get you back on air as soon as we can. Let's just take some of the other thoughts here that you've been sending in. 166177, or you can email studio@manxradio.com. Terry says, can you wish my cousin all the best in his rally today? Let's go, Brandon. We certainly can do. I think we can go back to the lines now. I don't know if this is going to be Ursula. We'll keep our fingers crossed. Ursula, is that you there? Oh, it's still ringing. Goodness me. It's been going so well this week, hadn't it? Never mind. Had to go wrong at some point. We've heard lots of thoughts about gas prices all throughout the week, but Pat's been in touch now to say your previous contributor is wrong and greedy if he thinks the heating allowance should only go to gas customers. All pensioners should receive some help, regardless of what heating they have. Pensioners here are suffering in all ways, and not just with heating bills. Also, the oil prices have gone up as well. I'm very confident we're going to go to the lines and speak to Ursula now. I'm so sorry about that, Ursula.
That's all right. I can understand these things happen. I just wanted to respectfully point out that I recently spoke to my oil supplier in Peel, and I was changing my standing order as I'd been paying too much. And I said, you know, I want to reduce it. And they said, no problem. You know, you've got an awful lot of credit built up. But you are aware that oil prices have gone up recently and are continuing to go up. Also looking at the petrol prices in the UK, it seems to me as if all fuel, regardless of whether it is oil or whether it is gas or whether it is petrol, they're all experiencing increases. That being the case, surely the allowances should be equal for everyone.
Well, that echoes a thought that somebody else just sent in, that actually rising prices, regardless of whatever form of heating you use, do impact on everyone.
Yes, they do. They do. And let's hope that the government takes that into account whenever they make decisions on who gets payments and who doesn't. That's all I wanted to say, really. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much, Ursula, and apologies again for cutting you off in your prime before you'd even started. Any thoughts? 66 13 68, or you can email studio@manxradio.com or text 166 177. 22 minutes past 12 now. And earlier this week, you might remember me mentioning a study which was conducted by HSBC Bank. And this revealed that according to those who move abroad, the Isle of Man is one of the best places in the world to live and work. More than 20,000 people from 46 countries were questioned in the Expat Explorer findings, and this has been going on for 14 years now. According to this year's results, the Isle of Man came in seventh overall. Now, while the Isle of Man actually comes 13th in terms of places to live, where it does score highly is in optimism about the future. It ranks fourth on the list there. Topping the overall poll is Switzerland, just ahead of Australia in second and New Zealand in third. And incidentally, Guernsey and Jersey come in just ahead of the Isle of Man in fifth and sixth, respectively. Well, we asked the Director of Financial Options, Gerald Chase, to just take a quick look at this study and pick out what it might really mean in real terms. And Gerald joins us live in the studio now. Good afternoon. Lovely to have you here.
Good afternoon, Beth.
Now, this would seem really to be great news on the face of it, wouldn't it?
It looks very good, yes. The fact that we've come out seventh in the list and certainly the future outlook ranking of four looks very good indeed. The island, and if we contrast that with the UK, which actually came out as 44th out of 46, which suggests that the people that have moved to the UK have a much lower aspirational rank and also a future outlook rank. So, as I say, it looks extremely good for the Isle of Man.
I suppose what would be interesting to know is actually who the people are who've been polled.
Yes, that's the big thing. In effect, I mean, 50% of the Isle of Man is expatriates. It's whether or not, I think HSBC have actually blocked all of the British Isles is British, and they're looking at the Canadians, the South Africans, you know, that have come in or have gone elsewhere. So I think that's really where their figures have come from.
So you speak to a lot of people in your day-to-day business. Just very briefly, just outline what you do for us.
Well, we're financial advisors. We offer just about every angle of financial advice apart from car insurance. That's the one thing you won't get from us, but we certainly do mortgages, pensions, investments, savings.
I'm intrigued why you don't do car insurance.
It needs specialist technology and, yes, it's too expensive.
Okay, yeah. So based on the number of people you speak to, how do this study's findings compare with your own experience of talking to people?
Oh, I think it agrees entirely with what they're saying. We've spoken to quite a number of people that have just arrived or have just come over to the island. Most of them are coming because of employment. There are those retiring, but a lot are coming because of employment, both in the health sector, but also in the gambling sector as well. And certainly once they arrive, they feel the lifestyle here is quite incredible, in fact, compared to what they've experienced in the past. And they like the security, and those with children like the education as well.
So that's interesting. Yeah. So that would suggest we're doing really well in that sort of area, in terms of low crime rates, etc. where would you say that we really need to work on?
That's an interesting one. We certainly have an ageing population, and so we certainly need to look more at the care that we can offer those people. So that's an area where I think some of the expats might find it difficult once they become elderly. But otherwise, I say that's something for the future. Currently, I don't think there is much more we can do. Obviously, we need to keep the island vibrant, which I think everybody's trying to do that. And we need to embrace new things that come along.
I mean, this programme, we hear lots of people talking about various issues which perhaps haven't gone to plan, you know, projects overrunning, etc. Flumes, I'll just throw that in there. But do you think that perhaps sometimes we don't realise just how good we have it compared to other places?
I think that's definitely the case. Yeah, I mean, certainly, talk about projects, the promenade, I mean, that's been quite an awful experience, really. But, I say, it comes down to the fact that I think it's the lifestyle that people like. And yes, it would be nice if these things were done properly and they worked first time. But they are really quite happy coming here.
Well, Gerald, thank you so much for taking the time to look through that for us and joining us this afternoon. Any thoughts on that study, 66 13 68? You can text 166 177 or email studio@manxradio.com. Just speaking of the promenade, incidentally, I see that in the House of Keys next week, the Douglas South MHK Claire Christian will ask the Infrastructure Minister, Tim Crookle, when the prom works are going to be finished and to what standard. Well, we did speak to Mr. Crookle soon after his appointment last week, and he told us he wasn't a fan of promising definite end dates. So it just begs the question, is that a better approach, or maybe you might see it as a cop-out, allowing projects to drag on and on and on? Flumes. 12:28 now.
Manx Telecom is installing a new broadband network as part of our continuous investment in the Isle of Man's telecom infrastructure. Over the next few weeks, we're moving customers to the new network, area by area. It'll mean a loss of service for up to 4 hours. So we're doing the work between midnight and 8 a.m. for minimum disruption. To find out which areas are being upgraded each week, visit manxtelecom.com/new broadband network, our store or our social channels.
Hello?
If your hearing isn't as good as it used to be, contact Island Hearing. Run by a local family for 12 years, you'll find excellent treatment, help and advice at Island Hearing. Offering professional hearing tests, the latest hearing aids and competitive prices from our branches in Douglas, Ramsey and our main hearing clinic in Port Erin, where we also provide the most advanced wax removal treatment on the island. Call the Island Hearing team on 830 722. Island Hearing, we're listening.
Bored with your car? Time to pep up your drive with Motormall's October Part Exchange Party! Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo! All this month, catch unbelievable offers on new and used cars. Get at least £500 more for your part exchange, £250 to £1,000 free finance deposit contribution. And if you've outstanding finance, we may be able to help. Part Exchange and Party. Pep it up at Motormall, Cool Road, Braddon.
For your new bathroom, visit Qplus, the largest bathroom showroom on the island. With over 50 stunning displays from leading brands, including hundreds of bathroom fittings, tiles and flooring. Qplus provide free design and 4D virtual display, so you can really see how your new bespoke bathroom will look. Visit Snugborough Trading Estate or see online. Qplus, you imagine, we design.
The Manx Radio Chill Out Show, every Sunday evening from 7, gives you the chance to kick back, relax and chill to round off your weekend or your work end. Tune in and chill out between 7 and 9 each Sunday. Whether you're after a touch of Ibiza beach vibes to brighten up a dull autumn evening or the perfect wind down to another crazy weekend, you've got it right here.
You're tuned to the Sunday Chill Out Show with Chris Pearson on Manx Radio. When the man in line's not on air, call Manx Radio to leave your opinion for broadcast on 682 631.
From Peel to Port Sodderick, online, on smartphone apps, and on AM and FM. This is Manx Radio.
The man in line with Beth Espy.
It's just gone at 12:31. 66 13 68 is the number to call if you'd like to talk on air this afternoon. You can also text 166 177 or email studio at manxradio.com. Lots of your comments to get through, but we're going to go back to the lines now and join Adam on line one. And Adam, you want to talk about the Prom Walkway?
Yeah, I just wondered, Beth, I just wanted to ask the question, basically, when are they going to start? When are discussions going to start about what they're going to do about the Promenade Walkway? Because obviously they're finishing the scheme off at some point in the next few months. But the scheme doesn't include the Promenade Walkway. So what is going to get done about the Promenade Walkway? You know, at what stage are we going to start having a conversation about what we're going to do with the Promenade Walkway? Because at the minute it's a bit of a mess, isn't it? Parts of it are black tarmac, parts of it are the original pattern, parts of it are just completely tarmacked. And so it needs obviously there needs to be a further plan as to what they're going to do with the Promenade Walkway, because it's not part of the scheme.
So in your ideal vision, how would the Prom Walkway look then?
Well, I think as long as it's tidy, it doesn't really matter how it looks. But, I mean, I would like to see a nice bold Knoxian sort of design run the length of the promenade, perhaps in white concrete and surrounded by beige tarmac or something. But that's just, you know, my own specific idea. It doesn't matter, does it? It can be anything as long as it's tidy. But obviously, the promenade scheme has never included the walkway. So there needs to be some sort of conversation as to what's going to happen with the walkway, because the walkway has been completely wrecked by the promenade works.
I just wonder, though, Adam, if anyone's up for more disruption on the prom.
I don't know, Beth, but I mean, they can't leave it the way it is, can they? It's just awful, isn't it? But I mean, obviously, I mean, the walkway, at least it's away from the shops and things on the other side. So hopefully it'll be less disruption for them, because I know there's a lady down there, she's got a little dry cleaning service underneath the Castle Mona, and she's a lovely lady. And I know her business has had huge disruption as a result of the promenade works, but at least if they're doing the walkway, it'll be away from the businesses on the other side of the promenade. But, you know, at what stage are they going to make the decision? At what stage are they going to start talking about it? And at what stage are they going to acknowledge that the walkway needs to be done?
Good question, Adam. Thank you very much indeed. Have you got a vision for how you'd like to see the prom walkway finished? Is it too soon to be talking about that when the actual works on the prom aren't quite there yet? Let me know what you think. We've been talking on Manx Radio today about climate change. This was an issue raised in breakfast this morning, and how realistic really it is that the Isle of Man will reach net zero carbon emissions before 2050. Juwan's been in touch to say, do we really think that countries like America, Russia, India, China will take any notice of this tiny island on climate change? The money would be better spent on health. Do you agree with that? Would that be the better way to go? Had a message in here saying, I went for a drive along the promenade this morning after nipping into town for a bit of shopping. I'm really glad to see it's finally taking shape, but what a disappointment I think it's going to turn out. No inspiration in design, apart from the ridiculous roundels. You really could be anywhere in the UK. It could have been designed by a robot. Bland and boring is how I would describe it. As for the overhaul of the hotel and the prom, is that hotel contributing anything towards the cost of the works? I hope government won't be paying to paint the front of it like they are on the colonnade. Our recent oil delivery, says John, is up nearly 20% on the previous delivery in early summer. We've been talking a lot about gas prices, and lots of you in touch to say actually oil prices have gone up. I mean, they're so volatile, up and down all the time, aren't they? Sue's been in touch to say there's a glitch with the online PCR booking system, so it's best to phone 111 if you need to book a PCR test. I had heard about the glitch there, so thank you very much for that, Sue. Another Sue says top vaccines are a must. past, but I have a query about the vaccinations. There seems to be a massive shortage of staff across a multitude of industries. My question is, how many of those vacant roles come from people who haven't been vaccinated? I know a few people who've been told to either get vaccinated or move on. I also know others who have lost their jobs because they took their legal right not to be vaccinated. Does anyone have the figures with regard to that? Somebody asking or suggesting that Howard makes Ebenezer Scrooge seem like a generous fellow. Maybe a little bit unfair there. I was just wondering if electricity bills are going to go up now. This is from Ted in Onchan. Will electricity be affected now? Gas bills have gone up because the power station is fueled by gas. Somebody else are wishing Brandon all the best in the rally. Nice message to pass on there. Thank you very much for that. And we've got lots more thoughts on gas prices. This one is from Lil, who says Howard isn't right. It's not any of his business who gets the allowance. He ought to stop worrying about what other people will get. All fuel is going up. Also, all food prices are increasing. Again, vouchers are not needed. And if these people in receipt of extra fuel allowance don't spend the extra on fuel, that is their lookout and their problem. Let them freeze if they spend it on luxuries. Let's head back to the lines now, and we're going to talk to Carol. And Carol, you want to talk about the prom crossings?
Yes, I do. Where you cross officially, there are lights to let people know that's the crossing. But also, they seem to have walkways across the road that haven't got the lights to indicate crossing. And people tend to cross on them. And I feel there's going to be an accident there, because people just cross thinking the crossings without looking for the lights. I just wondered what anybody else thought about it.
There's an interesting thought, isn't there, Carol, about the notion of shared space, and that everybody who uses a roadway should have equal access. We should all be looking out for each other. Perhaps that's the move here?
Yeah, maybe. But if people are just walking across, crossing the road, you know, without thinking, us like drivers, have they just got to pull up quickly, you know, without, because they know it's not a crossing, but the normal, you know, people just walk across thinking they're allowed to. This is all I'm just ringing for.
Oh, Carol, thank you very much. Really appreciate you taking the time to call in. And it's a good point to raise. So maybe we're all a little bit more aware, perhaps, when we're driving along the prom. Let's go to some more of the text messages we've had in. Isle of Man gas prices up 27%. Working people are struggling with bills, so less gas will be used in homes. Is that Isle of Man emissions sorted? That's according to G. Fran, why aren't the government exploring the gas supply that's supposed to be within Manx waters to give us cheaper gas? Maybe the Wednesday nightclub haven't got any experts in this field or haven't yet got round to setting up a company to look at getting the profits from that yet. Dave has been in touch about oil prices, and he says last month per litre it was 55 pence. In November 2020, it was 35 pence a litre. In December 2019, it was 59 pence a litre. And in September 2019, it was 61 pence. So that really does show, I suppose, the volatility of all prices of fuel. Price of gas going up? Yes, we were told we would get a refund a long time ago. Did we get one? No. Someone from Manx Gas should come on and explain why not. And we have talked a little bit about the prom lights this week. Well, we have had another message from the Douglas Council mole. Paints a great image, that, doesn't it? The latest update from inside the Douglas Council regarding festoon lighting on the prom. The council have got numerous lengths of festoon lighting up at the service centre, ready to put up in sections of the prom. It seems like Adam's petition is working, so keep up the good work. Well, we wait to see what will happen there. I had my booster invitation today, says Chris. They ask you to download the form and fill out the details. I did so. What a waste of time and ink. Apparently it's changed, so I had to fill out another one. What a waste of paper. I suppose maybe they have to do that with every vaccination that you have, just to dot the I's and cross the T's. How do I get a job like Tim Crookle? He doesn't know this, he doesn't know that, he doesn't want to either. I bet he'd know if his wages didn't get paid on time. What a job he has. That's we were talking about Tim Crookle because there's going to be a question in the Keys next week about when the prom works are going to be finished and to what standard. Anyone who has ever had building work done on their house will realise snags arise that were not expected. There's a huge difference between hands-on projects and button-pushing computer products. Projects, that's according to Liz. I won a quick game of Promenade Walkway Bingo. It's a burger for lunch now. Thank you very much. Manx Gas has been ripping the Manx Public off for years, according to Sharon. And somebody else texted and said, don't know if it's been mentioned, but most of the electricity generated on the Isle of Man is powered by gas. We can go to Brenda now on line one, who also wants to talk about gas. Good afternoon, Brenda.
Yes, good afternoon. I'm on gas central heating, and it's normally topped up once a month. They come round and check it and top it up, apart from the summer months when there's a break. But it usually starts again at the beginning of October. Now, I noticed this year they haven't been yet, and it's usually in the early part of the month. And I'm just wondering whether they were waiting for the price to go up before they decided to come and fill my tank.
Is it something you've raised with them, Brenda?
No, I haven't. I've only just thought about it now. And I just sort of checked previous years and found that normally they come at the beginning of the month, and we're now well into October, and they haven't been at all yet.
Interesting question. I suppose the cynic might say that it could have been because they were waiting for the price increases. There could also be other reasons. It'd be interesting to find out when they come over.
Yes, it's just a thought, that's all. I don't know whether anybody else has noticed it.
OK, we'll put the question out there. Thank you very much indeed, Brenda. Is this your experience, 661368, or you can email studio@manxradio.com. Ian's been in touch with regard to what he'd like the promenade walkway to look like. In short, tidy, finished and free of workmen. Thanks very much, Ian. If Adam was so interested in the prom job, why didn't he become an MHK? Is a text we've just had in. Mary says the promenade walkway should be redone, but definitely not in tarmac. The asphalt finish is lovely, or even paving slabs, but not tarmac. I think the tarmac finish on the prom itself is very disappointing. There isn't anything special about it. Well, we've been talking a lot about projects that perhaps haven't gone to time or budget, but we heard this morning that the new steam packet company vessel due to enter service in 2 years' time is actually on time. And on budget. That is according to Brian Thompson, who's the managing director of the ferry operator.
I can tell you that 80% of the steel has been cut. Some blocks have been put together. The vessel's coming together nicely. I just had a report the other day with some photographs. There'll be more further media releases on that in the near future. It's on budget. It's on the timescale that we've given them. So we're very, very happy, considering everything that's gone on in the world.
And will that be docking at the new Liverpool landing stage?
Well, that's the million-dollar question. Certainly, from our colleagues at DOI, that's what we've been indicated, that the landing stage will be ready.
Because that's nothing to do with the steam packet, is it?
It is not. It's a DOI project. The steam packet are the end user. That will be the gateway to the island in the future. When we get the new vessel, the Manxman, the Ben McCree will become the backup vessel then, so that will cover quite a lot of bases for us then.
So that's Brian Thompson talking about the Manxman. That's good news, isn't it? 12:44 here on the Man in Line. Just something that we talked about with regard to when you are off, if you have to take time off to look after a child if they have come down with COVID. We mentioned the fact that teachers who have to take time off because their own child's tested positive don't get paid for it. I was actually contacted by someone after that show who said it was the same situation with a lot of jobs, actually. So then why, they asked, should teachers be any different? And this person who got in touch is currently having to take time off with their sick child. They're not being paid. So having never claimed anything in their life, they are now having to claim incapacity benefit. So from what I understand, and I do stand to be corrected here, the rate for incapacity has been increased for the first 2 weeks you have to claim, and that is to cover the COVID situation. I wonder if you think there's any better way round that at all. Also talked yesterday about the cancellation of Douglas fireworks on the 5th of November. Douglas Council told us it was because the Department of Infrastructure had advised them that due to unforeseen delays to the prom redevelopment works, that area in the vicinity of the War Memorial wouldn't be in a safe enough condition to accommodate the crowds of spectators expected for what is traditionally one of the island's largest community events. Well, a little later yesterday afternoon, we got a statement from the Douglas Promenade Refurbishment Scheme. Let me just read this to you. The Douglas Promenade Refurbishment Scheme team is surprised and disappointed that Douglas Borough Council's chosen to cancel this year's fireworks display. Although the council's preferred slipway to access Ashore at Broadway is currently unavailable due to the ongoing improvement works, an alternative location was identified a little further north, just opposite the Palace Hotel, which was recently used for the beach racing without any issues. Pedestrians, they say, would have had ample space from which to watch the display, with only a short section between the War Memorial and Broadway being unavailable. The team has worked hard to assist in the smooth running of a range of events on Douglas Promenades in recent months, including accommodating thousands of spectators watching the Red Arrows display, the hugely popular food and drink festival at the Villa Marina, and vehicles and visitors at the Festival of Motoring. While the cancellation of the fireworks is disappointing, the team looks forward to continue planning events alongside Douglas Borough Council and will now focus on preparing the area of the War Memorial and Harris Promenade ahead of the Armistice Day commemorations. I did ask if anybody from the Douglas Promenade Refurbishment Scheme would be available to talk to me, but haven't actually heard back yet. 12:47, let's go to the lines again and join Charlie to talk about the Manxmen, Charlie. I've done it again with the button. Hang on a second. Here we go. Charlie, are you there? Sorry about that. Missed the start of you, Charlie.
You hear me?
I can now, yes.
Right. The new Manxman, bigger. I believe it's bigger than the Ben McCree. Because we had to pay for extra dredging at Liverpool, didn't we?
There's something in the back of my mind about that.
Yeah. Well, as the Ben McCree has difficulty getting into Heysham, at certain tides, there's going to be a worse problem if there's more draft on the new boat. Hello?
Yeah, no, I'm listening. I'm just considering.
Yeah, but I know the old wooden pier at Tahitian is breaking down, and occasionally you get timber stuck in the side of the channel. And that's why at one time the Ben McCree couldn't go in. So are we going to have problems with the new one getting into Heysham? Or are we going to be permanently going to Liverpool?
It's a good question, Charlie. One that we should put to them, really, I suppose, because the last thing we want is any issues like that, isn't it?
Well, either the rudders or the propellers could get snagged up on a rotten timber.
Good point, Charlie. Thank you very much indeed. It's a question to raise. Will there be any issues because the new vessel is slightly bigger? Let's go back to some of the texts we've got here. G wants to know how many double jabbed and then booster jabbed hospital staff are absent from work. Somebody else talking about pensioners, and in their suggestion, pensioners have never been better off than they are now. Somebody else saying about the walkway. The walkway is a disgrace. And there was a letter that this correspondent sent. It was John who sent to Minister Baker. This is about the Douglas Prom walkway, and saying to Mr. Baker, who was the then infrastructure minister, that the walkway was in a terrible state and something needed to be done about it. If the promenade walkway would be repaired at the same time, then it would have all been completed together. My friend was, probably won't read that one at the moment. We'll come back to that one. Some other thoughts on the TT. That's been a topic of conversation this week. Will the TT run next year? Obviously, the COVID figures are really high again, and I cannot see it happening. I mentioned climate change earlier. That's because we talked about it on breakfast this morning. Campaigners calling for the Isle of Man to reach net zero carbon emissions before 2050. A demonstration calling for more to be done locally is going to take place next month, and the Isle of Man Coalition and Friends of the Earth will unite in a march through Douglas. Alice Quayle from the Coalition says now is the time to promote this issue.
We've had several years of talk from the last administration, you know, writing plans and doing reports and getting consultations and then another consultation and then another consultation. And now we have a new administration which has got a bit of energy to it, and it would be nice to see some action. And we really think it would benefit the island, and if it's targeted, it can benefit people. Specifically at the minute, when we're looking at the gas price hike, would be a really good time to target insulating homes cutting fuel poverty, making people's homes warmer. In the short term, there's a real shortage. Whenever they ask the public what would help you to like make your homes more efficient, people say, we don't have enough information, we don't know who to employ, we don't know who are the best tradespeople, we don't technically know how to do things. So like a few years ago, there was an energy expo, which is like really successful. So that sort of thing would be handy. There used to be an energy doctor about 10 years ago that got discontinued. That was quite handy. You know, you'd phone up, you'd come round, give you some advice. You'd be like, do this, do that, and that'll save you a load off your bills. So that sort of initiative.
That's Alice Quayle from the Isle of Man Coalition and Friends of the Earth. And those views echoed by the Student Climate Change Network. Founder Archibald Elliott hopes the island's new government will put the issue at the forefront of its politics.
We're quite pleased to at least see the new administration, that new Chief Minister Alf Cannon had put kind of climate change within his manifesto, something that was lacking within Dr. Alex Allenson and his manifesto. So we're quite hopeful that this new administration can kind of drive a fresh approach to climate change. We're yet to see anything sort of concrete action or any indication of where that can go. But all that remains at this time is to be hopeful and kind of look at, if they don't push forward proper policy, that we'll be out there and lobbying for proper policy to be implemented. But we're hopeful at the moment that the new administration will deal with climate change. How that ages is yet to see.
Well, Chair of the Government's Climate Change Transformation Board, Daphne Kane, argues that though 2050 is the plan date, the target for emissions might be achieved even sooner.
That was a motion amendment to the climate change bill when it came through the branches. Laurie Hooper was attempting to have that date brought forward to 2035, which I supported. I think what we have to focus on is we now have hopefully that legislation will become an act and put statutory requirements on us to come forward and meet our climate carbon reductions net zero target by 2050. You know, if the Isle of Man and the technology improves along the way, we may get there sooner.
So that was Daphne Kane. Any thoughts on that? Just a minute or so left. Let's take some more of your text messages. Festoon Lights, brilliant news from the Douglas Council mole. If it's true, well, we will watch this space. Carol is 100% correct about the prom crossings. Each of the streets of the prom, Regent, Howard, Granville, etc., all have a crossing on each side of the street. One is a puffin, the other isn't marked with signs or beacons. It is an accident waiting to happen. Please tell Branda it will not make any difference or not if her gas tank has been topped up. The price is the price, plus Manx Gas make the same profit from the sales before the price rise. The additional costs are for purchasing the gas. This is the same with oil, same with all fossil fuels. If she's a meter customer, it won't make any difference to her anyway, as they are full up when they are needed. So far, the winter has been mild, so they might not need to check it as early. Thank you very much. That's quite reassuring there from Dave, if Brenda is still listening. Somebody else saying, let's hope the new Manxman fits into the new dock in Liverpool, similar to the points raised by Charlie. What else have we got here? I think I might have been had on something, but we'll just gloss over that. I'm an artist, designer and landscaping assistant, and I want to have a positive impact on the world. And if you want to do that, the very last thing you do is become an MHK. That's according to Adam. It's a little bit cynical again there, Adam, isn't it? But that's the response to a question asking why he hadn't gone for MHK, if he was so concerned about things like the promenade walkway. And G has been in touch just finally, saying the fireworks needed to be cancelled. We do not need another mass spreader event. So that's an alternative point of view there, thinking about the fireworks display on Douglas Promenade, which has been cancelled, unfortunately, for the 5th of November. So thank you so, so much for your company today and indeed all this week. As I mentioned, hopefully Andy will be feeling much better and he will be back in the chair as he rightly belongs on Monday. If you just thought of something you want to talk about, you can contact us out of hours. 682 631 is that number, and a message can be played out on the programme. And if you've missed any part of today's show, the podcast will be available shortly. You can find that on our website. Thank you so much to Barry Redfern for producing today's programme and looking after me all week as well. Thank you for your company and contributions, even if sometimes they get me into trouble. Late Lunch with Christian Howard is up next, and The Man in Line will be back on Monday at midday. Have a wonderful rest of the afternoon.